increases his avas Hashem. It increases, and the more he understands of it, the greater his avas Hashem is. The less he understands of it, the more his avas, the more of an impediment he has in the way of his avas Hashem. Because there are a lot of questions that the person sees with regard to the physical life. The Gemara says, "Shamitzu b'yamalek." That's it. The world, this world, the schar, the pleasures and the pains of this world are considered like nothing. The real reward is the reward of Olam Haba. That's it. If a person would see what that is, he would understand Chasdav Shalmakom. Very important in understanding what the schar is in order to understand Chasdav Shalmakom. And to remove the difficulties that a person has with regard to this question. It's a big question. It's a question that hits everybody. Question of anyone, the only people who doesn't is the person that's so self-centered, he doesn't notice anybody else around him. If a person notices the person is self-centered and he sees other people, a lot of problems he has in understanding Chasdav Shalmako. We can't answer exactly why things happen, we don't know. But one important thing is that a person should recognize what the true schar is. Da shalmat shalmatin schar and shal tzadikim lasid lava. It's a different kind of a schar. This world is like a joke compared to that schar. The person understands that, then he understands Chasdav Shel Makom, and increases his Avas Hashem. That's why he says, "Navaroso me Ava Meira." That's what the Rebbe Yonah says. To understand what the schar of Talmud Torah is. Different kind of thing. Is that Tino Isa Beliba, the Gemara says. Tino means some impurity was in his heart. What Chazon mean is that that there was a part of his nature, you see, that couldn't go along with the ultimate knowledge, so that there was no choice for him but to make that decision, that unfortunate decision. But it's a different. It's only something that a person who has the vision of the ultimate perfection would cause a problem, because since he has such a vision. And he is not in line with it, so there's a tremendous discrepancy. The average person is not on the level of an achar, doesn't have these type of problems. We're not talking about an achar, we're not criticizing him as an individual here. We're just talking about the fact that it was a mistake, and we know something about what the mistake was related to. The mistake was related to Sfar Mitzvah. That we know about. So I'm using that as an example, but we're not really going into achar's personality. Achar is a very great person. And we cannot analyze his personality. We're not on the level to analyze his personality. We don't know the problems he had, and this is a different level. I mean, we can't. But certain things we can know with regard to what the problem revolved around, the Gemara says. We don't understand the problem. Da ma shetoshiv la pikaris. So it rhymes like this. Amar. Tzorach shetil ma dvarim shetoshiv bohem la pikursa. Min ovdei kochovim, the apikursim from the goyim, the sachlok aleihem. You should argue with them. It's a shivim. You should answer them in mikshulach if they ask you questions. Va'amru and Chazal say, lo shanu ala apikores over kochovim. That's only an apikores of the goy you should answer. Aval apikores Israel, a Jewish apikores, kol shkein de pakatvei. He will become worse if you answer. Don't even buy. You're not allowed to bother with it. That's what the Rambam says. Ratzalomar sheYosef levazas. He will continue to speak degradingly about the Torah. Umetnezeh einitzarach ledabrimo klal. Because of that, you don't have to speak with him at all. Sheein lo takana vein lo refor klal. There's no way that you can cure him. Sheneimar kol boeho lo yeshuvon, lo yasigu orchaschayim. Alright? So he says, like, it says that the first thing he says is, because anyone that goes into upper courses can never return. And it's a Rambam in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim. Rambam says the same thing in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim. It's in the Rambam, it's in Perek Beis, Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, Alachay. Yisroel she'ovar Avodas Kochavim, Hareu Kovei Kochavim, L'chol Devorah. Ve'eno ki Yisroel she'ovar Avera she'esh Boskila. Alright? Then the Ram says, "V'chein ha'pikursim liYisrael, einon ki Yisrael ledovar me'advarim." He's not like a Jew with regard to anything. Ve'ein mekablin osam b'tshuva la'olam. Never accept their tshuva. We never accept the tshuva. Shenemar kol bo'eha lo yeshuvun. All those that go into her shall never return. V'lo yasigu or chaschayim. And will never attain the ways of life. V'lo apikursim. Who are these apikursim? Heim ha-torim acha machshavos libom besichwas devarim. She'amarna. They're the ones that follow the ways of their thoughts with their nonsensical things. Achininsu ovrim agufe Torah lahachis b'seit nefesh b'yad roma v'omrim she'im b'ze'avan. So they reach the level where they violate the Ikriya Torah and they say that there's no sin in doing that. V'asu l'sapri mohen, now let's speak with them, u'l'hoshiv aleim tshuva klal, or to answer them in any way. Shenemar v'al tikra v'al pesach besa. Don't go near her doorstep. Right? That's the Ramah. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says about Acha. The Gemara says that Acha was walking by Harabayas, and he heard a bus call that said, Shuvu, Shuvu, Bonim, Shovim. Shuvu, Shuvu, Chutzman, Acha. And Acha can't come back. Anyway, that's a Kobele issue. Yeah. According to the Rambam, what's the connection with the next part? V'da l'fnei miyat ta'amel. He says, v'omru, and they said like this, afa pisha tuma deos ha'umos, even though you should learn the ideas of the other nations, l'das eich toshiv aleihem, in order to know how to answer them, yishomer, be careful, shelo yale belibcha dova min ha'deos ha'em. You shouldn't take to heart any of these ideas. The da shemi shetavod lefun of yadeya tzafun libecha, that God knows the hidden recesses of your heart. Vehu amro v'dalef neimia to omel ratzalomar sheyechavim libo be'emunas Hashem yisbarach. That's what he says. You should make sure that you are that the idea that you remain loyal to is the moon and God. That's what the Rambam says. It's a hard thing to understand. How does this work? You're supposed to study these things, and you're not supposed to lose your amunah. I mean, it's a very funny thing. Because he says you're supposed to study them. So what happened is, in most places, they simply eradicated Damash Shachbat Tikaris. They said, no, don't do it. It comes like this. Svarim Rabim Chibru Ovdei Kochovim, Bavodosa. There are many books that the other Kachovim wrote about how to serve idols. Heyach ikra avodasa. But the main part of the vada is Uma ma'aseho, mishpateho, the different actions and the details. The Rambam, yeah, a whole Shulchan Aruch. What do they have? They have a whole thing of how to do it, all the lava. But what they have is a whole way of doing things. Alright? So, now. Sivana HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God commanded us shelo likros ba'osan asfarim klal, not to read any of these books. V'lo nahara bar, we shouldn't think about them. V'lo b'dovar midvorah, not even one of these things. V'afilu l'stakel b'dmus hatzura os, even to look at the image, just to look at it, to glance at it, look at it, is us. Shenema, as the pasuk says, al tifnu el ha'alila, you shouldn't turn to the alila. And with regard to this, the pasuk says, "Ufentigrosh leloheim lema eicha yavdu agoyim aelas aloheim ve'esachen gamani." Shelo tishal al derech avodasa heyachi. Shouldn't ask about it. How do you serve these idols? Afa pishein osa afshein ato ovda. Even though you're not going to worship it, shedover ze gorem lifunos acharel. Does this cause you to turn after them? V'lasos kamo shein osin. Shenema v'esa king amani. That's what he says. Also to read any of these books, or to inquire about how they worship these idols or anything like that. He says, yeah. Okay. Then he goes on. V'chol alav neilu binyan echad v'ush lo yifna chavos kachovim v'chol anifna chareh b'derech shu osu b'maisa reza loka. So the Ram says, interesting Ram, that if you do it in the way that you have a Malkus, then you get Malkus. What's the implication? The implication is the Malkus is, you get Malkus because you receive, you know, you receive Malkus because you reach that level. It's a level. Al-Tifnu, El-Elilim. You shouldn't turn towards these gods. If you do it in a way If you do it in a way that you do a maisa, if it results in a maisa, not talking about results, that's from Chayim Mitzvah. But if you do it in a way that it results in a maisa, you did an action, like you inquire and you're inquisitive, and then you start doing, you do an action, it leads to a maisa, so you get malchus. Right? V'lo avodas kachovim bovaru shasa lifanos acharab machshava. Not only avodas kachovim, not allowed to mentally turn towards. Ela kol machshava shu gorm lo la'odam lakor ikr me'ikri atara. Any thought that causes a person to remove one of the yesodei hadas, Muzhoran anu shalol halosa libeinu, we're not allowed to have this thought in our minds, v'lo nasiach datenu lakach, v'nachshov, v'nimshar achahiru re'alei. Now we should entertain these thoughts, no entertain these thoughts, because it'll be something to be turned towards the thoughts of a hiru re'alei, that a person turns after. Why? It's like this. V'nei shedato shal adam kitzar, because a person's mind is small, limited. And not every intellect can understand the truth soundly. Then he moshech kol adam acha machshavas libo, and if everybody's going to turn after their own the ideas of their hearts, nimtza machshavas olam mafitosa daita, then destroy the world because of his small mind. Ketzad how? Pomim yasur acha avaris kachavim. Sometimes we'll think about avaris kachavim. Sometimes we'll think about Achdus Hashem. Shema hu, Shema ino. Maybe God exists, maybe He doesn't exist. Mala mailo, mala mata, mala funim, mala ocha. What happened before or after? Upamim b'nevua. Sometimes we'll think about nevua. Shema hi emes. Maybe it's true. Shema hi ain emes. Maybe it's not true. Upamim b'torah. Shema hi min ha-shemayim, Shema hi ino. We'll think that maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And he doesn't know, he doesn't have the methods to know how to analyze these things until he knows the truth soundly. So then he'll become an apikaris. That's what the Torah says. V'losasuru in the third part in Krishna. Achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem asher atem zonim. Every one of you should not be drawn after your small mind. You should think that his mind has ascertained the truth. Even though this love causes a person to lose his life, to lose the world. Even though it causes him to lose this life, the next life, it means he loses life. There's no malchus. No malchus in regard to this life. But there's no maisa. Okay? That's the Rambam. Then the Rambam goes on. One more halacha. Mitzvahs of Avodas Kachovim, can I get a mitzvah school on it? Avodas Kachovim, the mitzvah of not serving Avodas Kachovim is equal to all the mitzvahs. Shenema, the chisish gibul osasu was kol mitzvahs. And it's speaking about Avodas Kachovim. Umipiyash molamdu shavodas kachovim akasim dara. Holamarta shakol amoda bavodas kachovim kofar b'chol atara kula. Ubechol anavim, ubechol mashin stav anavim, me'odam vaad sofa olam. Shenema, menayama shatzil ha-shem v'hol odor ha-sechem, is not an entire Torah. Ubechol ha-kofar bavodas kachovim. Moda b'chol ha-tera kula, b'chol ha-nevim, b'chol ma-shim istav ha-nevim, y'odim v'atzof olam, v'hu ikra kol ha-mitzvahs kulan. That's the Rambam says. This is the essence of all the mitzvahs. Okay? The question that you have to ask about this Rambam is, first of all, the Rambam himself made a very thorough study of all the Avodah Zarahs. He says so himself in the Moreh Nevuchim. Studied the book Tom, he mentions over there. And the Rambam says, moreover, he studied every book that he can get his hands on that dealt with Avodah Zarah. Yeah, all right, Shlomo Melech. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says that the more you understand about the Avodah Zarah, the more you understand some of the things in the Torah. That's what the Rambam mentions. And how could the Rambam say over here, Svarim Rabbim Chibur of the Kachavim of Adasa, it's against the Rambam's own advice. All right? That's what the Rambam himself did. Zivon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? The answer is a Gemara in Shabbos that answers. Gemara in Shabbos says, on the Pasuk in Shoftim, where it says that, Losomad Lasos, Kesolos Agayim Lohen, discussing the Vodazor. So the Gemara says, Losomad Lasos, Avalomedata Lohovinu Lahaske. That's what the Gemara says. That you can learn to understand. Okay? So it comes out, so you tell me that the Rambam learned to understand. And that's why the Rambam was able to do it. And here the Rambam's not talking about learning to understand. Okay? But it would be strange to say that there's a mitzvah in the Torah that refers to some people and not to other people. Because the Rambam over here says, because everybody can, and he says, why can't you do this? Because you can't allow people to just start studying these things, because each guy's going to, each person is going to think he's a great metaphysician, and he's going to come with his own crazy conclusions. Because he doesn't have the proper methodology, he doesn't have the great intellect, and he can't come to the right conclusion. So we can't allow people on the whole to study these areas, because it's going to lead to total devastation. And that's why the Torah says, Losrachar Lachafar Nechem. So it comes out that a mitzvah of the Torah applies to certain people and not to others. That's a very strange phenomenon. The Rambam is exempt from this mitzvah, and we're included in the mitzvah. Very hard thing to understand. What kind of Allah, how can you have Allah like that? Yes. The answer is that you have to look at the pasuk. See, the pasuk says, "Al tifnu elu elulam." Al tifnu elulam. By the way, that pasuk goes on everything. Al tifnu elu midatka. You shouldn't turn to anything that's from your own mind. What it means is like this: that if a person is captured by the attraction, curiosity, a person is curious about the Ode Avodah Zarah, it's an issa d'oraisa for him to pursue that curiosity. That's what Losurah HaRavah Farinetim. He's curious about it. It's interesting. It's intriguing to him. How do they do these things? See, what do they do? If it's curiosity, then it's an issa d'oraisa. Because the curiosity leads eventually to him embracing these ideas. Now, why does the curiosity lead to embracing these ideas? Because there's a reason for the curiosity. The reason for the curiosity is that the same emotion is being evoked in him as the full-blown emotions of these Ovdei Avodah Zarah. See? And the Rambam says that these Ovdei Avodah Zarah have special ways of doing all these different things. Why does he emphasize that they have so many special ways? I mean, Mama Sehel, Mishpatel, and what is this? It's not a logical system like Torah. But what is this Maseh Mishpatel? The answer is, it's a very detailed type of thing. It's true. But why is it detailed? Every detail of Avodah Zarah is based on some emotion. Based on some emotion. See? Now when a person is curious about it, a person senses the curiosity, what's happening at that moment is he's being hit by that same emotion that these Ovdei Avodah Zarah have. Don't think that Ovdei Avodah Zarah are in the past. That's nonsensical. Ovdei Avodah Zarah are here today. Same Ovdei Avodah Zarah. More modern framework, but they're there. The emotions of man don't change. A person has these emotions. And what happens is that a person is drawn to it because it awakens certain emotions that he's unaware of, that reside deeply in his psyche, that he's not aware of, you see. Now, if those emotions are awakened, there's an issa d'oraisa to try to follow them. To pursue them is an issa d'oraisa. That's al tifnu. Al tifnu means he's turning away. Turning away. If a person, however, is a great chacham, and he's overcome those emotions, and those emotions play no role in his life, then if he studies it because he wants to gain knowledge, then he's not over the law. He's not over the law. See? He's not over the law. That's what the halacha is. Okay? Depends on the person. That's why the Rambam says over here, he says, the Nimoshech kol odam achamach shilos libo nimtza macharas olam ufikotza daita. Ufikotza daita. It means to say that if a person starts thinking about these things, he'll think about Yichud Hashem. Maybe he's one, maybe he's not. Maybe the Torah is Min HaShemayim, maybe it's not Min HaShemayim. You see? What does it mean? It means that the person is being attracted, a part of his nature, a very strong part of his nature is being attracted to these ideas. The ideas are not really are not really based on any type of investigative process. It's based on a certain emotional draw. You see, there's an emotional withdrawal. Maybe there's nothing going to Shemayim altogether. You see? That's an emotional thought. That emotional thought is an Issa D'Oraisa. It's an Issa D'Oraisa. The person wants to understand the system of Torah Min HaShemayim and the basis of Torah Min HaShemayim, and he learns the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. That's not an Issa. That's not enough. Because what he's doing is, he's using the part of his mind, he's using the part of his intellect. He's not using the emotions. The emotions in this area are us. The person's not allowed to pursue the emotions in this area. You see? It depends from which part of the mind the pursuing of these things takes place. Because he could ask a question around himself. He says he's still thinking, maybe Tazman Shemayim, maybe Tazman Shemayim. And when a person studies the proof of Tazman Shemayim, that the Rambam explains, isn't he going through that thought process? Isn't he thinking to himself, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, because he's trying to understand the proof. So he's trying to understand the proof. How can you understand one side of the proof, that it is, without understanding the negative? You have to take into consideration both sides. And what's the answer? The answer is, if it's limud, you see, lo sumo lasos, if you're learning to do, that's a different kind of limud. That means that you're being attracted to it emotionally. That's an issa d'oraisa. But if it's the pure seichel hayosher that's interested in understanding it, not the emotions, then on the contrary, then it's a mitzvah. Because Rashi says, give me a chumash in Dvarim over there. Rashi says in Dvarim, lo somad lasos, it's in Yud Ches Tes. Aval atalomed lohovin lohoras. Kloma Rashi says, lohovin ma'asehim kamohim mikulkola. How corrupt their actions are. Ulahoros levanecha, to teach your children, lo sase kach v'kach. Shezeo chol kagoyim. See? To show your children, on the contrary, that these actions are corrupt and nonsensical. That's a mitzvah to teach them. Mitzvah, on the contrary. So it depends why, that's the interesting thing. This mitzvah was formulated in terms of what part of the psyche is being drawn to it. If it's the emotional, if the person wants the emotion and he wants to throw off yadis, he wants to have that freedom, suddenly he has a desire for freedom, anything he's good, maybe throws not on his mind. See? If he pursues that thought, he violates the laws of surah lavakum afrainekam, lavakum zuminus. But if a person is analyzing with his mind on his level, if he's analyzing rationally, first of all it means he's rational, it means that he knows what the level of his intellectual capacity is, and he knows he goes about it in a rational way, and he understands the proof of Torah Misinai. On the contrary, that's a mitzvah. The Ramban says one of the mitzvah of Torah. Then it's a mitzvah. So this mitzvah is formulated in terms, very strangely, very uniquely. It's formulated in terms of which part of the human mentality you're dealing with. That's the way it's formulated. Al tifnu ala ovos vele yidon. Al tifnu. Don't turn. Turn means you're being drawn by it. You're curious about it. What's this curiosity? Curiosity. In the back of his mind, the curiosity, maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something to it. If a person is curious about Christianity, he's curious about the way they do their, the way they have their services and their activities there. So if he's curious about it, it'd be an issa d'oraisa to pursue, to study it. An issa d'oraisa. Absolutely. No question about it. It means that he's overcome momentarily with the idea, you know, maybe there's something good. Let's see what they have there. Okay? That is an issa d'oraisa to pursue. But if a person knows that it's nonsensical, and he wants to study it to see how it's based, what false ideas each step is based on, and to understand how absurd it is, then it's a mitzvah. On the contrary, like Rashi says, it's a mitzvah kama. It's a mitzvah midaraisa. And to teach your children, to show them, to explain to them how nonsensical and how all these things are not based on anything rational, but they're based on just crazy emotions, crazy projections. That's a mitzvah midaraisa. That's an interesting thing. You have the same exact activity. I don't know if you have any education to tell you. You have the same exact activity where in one case it's an issa d'oraisa of avodah zarah. In the other case, it's a mitzvah. Depends upon which part of the soul the process is based on. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. So we answer the question. It's not a halacha. It's not a halacha that's just given over to us and not to the Rambam. It's a halacha given to everybody, including the Rambam. Halacha is if the person senses that he's being drawn to these things, then it's an isteraisa. Of course, the Rambam couldn't violate the negative halacha because the Rambam was such a great chacham that such a thing wouldn't happen to him. But that doesn't mean the mitzvah is, that's not an exclusion of the mitzvah. That's simply because of the Rambam's nature doesn't lend itself to this issur. Just like a lot of issur in the Torah. Los Yitzchak, the Rambam didn't have any business with the issur of Los Yitzchak. He didn't need Los Yitzchak, right? So that's something else. Doesn't mean the mitzvah's not given to him. The mitzvah's given to everybody. But if a person's on such a level where the law simply doesn't apply to him, that's not a kasha of the Torah. On the contrary, that's what the Torah is. But the mitzvah applies to everybody insofar as he's a human being and has to apply to him. Which means to say, depends upon which part of his nature is drawing him. That's the Rambam. And that's why we can understand, why the Rambam says that the Apikoros Yisrael, forget about it. Because we don't accept this tshuva. Kol bo'el lo yeshuva. Why? Because what happened to the Apikoros Yisrael? What happened to him? It means the person wasn't rational. It means the person lost his rationality. But it's more than that. What happens when he wasn't rational? It means he took his own emotions as the base and the barometer for all that is real. That's what it means. Because it's impossible to become an apikaris otherwise. See? It's impossible to become an apikaris otherwise. Since Yadis is true, and every word in Yadis is based upon reality, if a person would use his seichel, it's impossible to become an apikaris. There's no such phenomenon. I know people want to say that. I know people want to say that. Oh, an apikaris is a great chacham. He is not a great chacham. He may be an apikaris has a lot of knowledge, but the bottom line of fear is what David HaMelech said. Aman novo belibo eino lechonsi. Aman novo belibo means a person that comes to that conclusion. He came to that conclusion from another side of his personality, not from the chachma side. But there's another side, the emotional side, came to that conclusion. Now what happens to this person? It means the person has taken his emotional makeup. That's what the Rambam says, Machshavos v'im yimshach kolodamacha machshavos libo. Machshavos libo means the way he feels. Nah, that doesn't make any sense, you see? That's machshavos libo. It means he's taking himself as the final arbiter of what reality is. His own emotions. Such a person, there's no way you could reach him. There's no way, because what are you going to reach him? Reality is not there. He's the source of all reality. Once a person, it's merely a withdrawal into a type of narcissistic mentality. And once he's reached that level, that he's the center of everything, then on the contrary, the more you tell him, the more he's going to be lahachas. So you're not allowed to... You're not allowed to have anything to do with him, and we don't accept this tshuva, because we say once a person has reached that level, see, once you reach that level, there's no way out of the level. Because once the man has accepted himself as the final judge of what reality, his emotions are the final judge of reality, with what tool are you going to reach him? It's true that most people feel that what their emotions say is true, but that's only with regard to small decisions. Small decisions. But that's what the Rambam says. Explain something else. Now that you mentioned the question, explain as early as Achin Nimtu Vehema Torah Machamachlos Ribam the Sifus Ram Sher Omarnu Achin Nimtu Ovim Al Gufe Torah Lahachis the Saint Nefesh the Yod Rama Vomim Chambers Ovim. Why is the Rambam saying until they reach that level? The answer is what kind of a level is this? And why do we say right away a person that goes up to Machlos Ribam? The answer is there's degrees. Most people who are ignorant, the Amei Haaretz. The Talmud Chacham has a different mechanism, the way he lives. Amei Oretz have a different mechanism. The Amei Oretz mechanism is that he feels somehow that what he says is right. If you listen to people when they voice their opinions, when they ask them political questions, they say, no, I think this is absolutely right. Not one proof or any idea of any kind. But they're convinced that this is fair and this is not fair. That's it. The way they feel, that's what fairness is. That's it. So this is the type of person that's Moshe Chacham Machshavos Libo. However, the person is limited. Why? Because he will not say it with regard to God or religion. That area he recognizes, at least he has some type of respect for that area. He knows the same mechanism he's using over here might not be applicable. He has some type of awe, see? He won't say it with regard to other things. But once a person reaches the level where he uses that same mechanism, in relationship to God, to establishing whether God exists or whether he doesn't exist, or to establishing whether Yadis is true or whether it's not true, once he's reached that level of relying on his own personality and his own emotions to determine what reality is, there is nothing more. You can't. How are you going to reach him? Through what? Through what medium? There's no way to reach him. Okay? So that's why he's not capable of truth. We don't accept his truth. Ram doesn't say God doesn't accept his truth, doesn't it? But Kobo, basically, Kobo lo yishuvim. That's what it means. Kobo lo yishuvim means it's almost impossible. The Gemara seems to say maybe it is impossible. I mean, I don't know. But Kobo lo yishuvim means that it's very, very, extremely, very difficult for you to ever come back. Why? Because he's reached a plateau where he himself is the final judge. The way he feels, his emotions become deified. That's the way things are. God, Torah, all these important things are decided based upon the way he thinks. And that's the final result of Al Tifnu Ovos Lalidon. That's the final result of turning towards the word of God. If he reached that level, then he's then coasting the fuck off. No, so you can never talk to him. Never talk to him. So that's what Ram says. Ram says in Apikuris that the Yisrael has reached that level. Why? Because he's raised in a system of Chochmah, and he rejected it. So then there's no way that he could ever return, you see. But in Ovid Kachovim, who simply doesn't know, him you're allowed to, he simply doesn't know. So he didn't reach the deformity of personality. See, what we're looking at is a deformity of personality of the Apikaris. But the guy never reached that level of a deformity of personality, so therefore him you can answer. And on the contrary, it's a mitzvah to answer him. A mitzvah to help a guy that he should have true ideas also. He's a ben noach, he's a creature of God, and it's a mitzvah to help him have true ideas. So if he asks you questions, you should know how to answer them. That's what the Rambam says. This would justify the... Well, this would justify... It depends on the individual. But what you have to see is... You have a barometer here. The barometer is you can tell when talking to the person. If you can see right away, pretty quickly, usually, you can see when you talk to these people, if they came to the conclusion that the way they feel is the reality, and there's no other reality, there's no other, it's just the way they feel, then he's on the level that you can't talk to. That's independent. Now, that's why, of course, the Rambam says, that's why the Rambam emphasizes that the ikar of Kol HaTorah Kulo is this. This is the ikar of Kol HaTorah Kulo. The denial of Avodah Zarah. Why is it the denial of Avodah Zarah mentioned many times? The reason is because what is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is a catering to the projection of the human emotions. Christianity and all these Avodahs, all pure Avodah Zarah, because it's all based on nonsense, just projections of nonsensical emotions. And the ikar of Kol HaTorah Kulo is to subdue that part of man, that caters to those emotions, and to raise to the highest level the part of man, the Tzelem Elokim. The part of man that perceives Chochmah, that should be the dominant force in his life. Avodah Zarah is the exact opposite. That's what Ram says. It's the Yisrael of Kol. All right. So last week we explained the whole idea of the issue of learning. Actually, it's the whole idea of the issue of learning philosophy. All this machlekes Rishonim, not a machlekes Rishonim, but questions that the Rishonim talk about, like the shalos and shuvos. There's a big shalos and shuvos or rivush on if you're allowed to learn philosophy and when you are allowed, when you're not allowed. I mean, all kinds of questions. I mean, there were different, many different views. I mean, and Allah has brought down that you're not allowed to certain things. You're not allowed to learn. You are allowed to learn. It's an area which doesn't have any clarification. One time I went to Reb Moshe, they asked him about learning philosophy. Yisrael learning philosophy. Reb Moshe says, really? He says, how could you ask it? Rishonim learned it. But you do find, nevertheless, sources that say that it's Asr, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, and there's conflicting sources in this area. But what clears up the whole area is the Rambam. What clears up the entire area is that Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Chachamim. L'shomad lasas. If the limud brings lidei asiyah, if the limud brings to activity, in other words, if the person it's actually is given over to the person, that if the person studies any ideas that are contrary to Torah, because he's attracted to the idea, then it's an issa deraisa of lesom ad lasos. See, that's what the Rambam says over here. He says, v'amru, afal pi shetilma deyas ha'umos, even though you learn the ideas of the nations, l'das eich tashav aleim, to know how to answer them, yishomer shelo yala b'liv chodov min ha'deyas ha'hem. Be careful that you shouldn't take to heart any of these ideas. The dash and me shetavad lefana yadeya tzafel livcha. The one that you're working for knows the inner operations of your heart. Vehu amro v'dal lefnei miyat ha'omo ratzalama sheyachavan libo be'emunas Hashem yizbar. He should make sure that his heart is directed to, his emotions are directed to the amunah, to the true amunah. So you see, so it's something, the Rambam says, it's something that's muscle alay. Given over to the person to make a critical analysis of his own emotional state. Make a critical analysis of his own emotional state to determine whether he's learning these ideas because he's attracted to them, or whether he's learning them because he knows the truth and he's emotionally 100% secure, but he has to learn the ideas in terms of limud, in terms of, then it's a mitzvah, like Rashi says, to break down the ideas of the Avodah Zarah. That's really the essence of Yadus. It's Dovar Rifucha. I mean, just like you know the Amitus of Yadus inherently reflects the sheker, the falsehood of the other ideas. The other ideas is considered Avodah Zarah. Doesn't matter whether it means belief in Christianity or another religion, or whether it means atheism. It's the same thing. There's no difference. Yadus maintains one thing. The person follows the Seichel HaYashar, he must conclude that Yadus is the reality. There's no, Chazal didn't have any danger with that area, because it's a science, it's knowledge, it has to be that way. The only way a person can stray is if his emotions, if he follows his emotions and his emotions pull him in different directions. That's why you'll never find a formulation like this among any of the Umos Olam. Because to them, all their ideas are just based on emotion. So therefore, they have to protect their systems by simply outlawing everything else that's against it, whether it's a reality, whether it's science, or whether it's knowledge, or whether it's anything. Yadus has a different problem. Problem is not the knowledge. Problem is the person's emotions. So that's why you have that. That's why you have that special formulation. That really answers the whole question of philosophy. That's why many said you shouldn't study philosophy until you're 40. Rashbam made exera until you're 25. Rashbam made exera. Why? Because until a person is secure in Torah, there's a tremendous danger. He's just emotions. He's emotionally attached to Torah, and he has no real knowledge. So now the emotions attract him in the other area. So of course, like the Rambam says, you like to investigate whether the Torah is Min HaShemayim or not. One day I think it is, one day I think it's not. Everybody is going to be a great metaphysician, to be a churban, the biggest churban in the world. So this must be going, the person must go about this in a very specific way of chokhmah, through Masorah, through limud, with the proper balei Masorah, with rebbeim, so that he knows that he will not be harmed, and he knows he's secure in the true Amunas HaYadus. That's the system. This mitzvah reflects the system, I think, more than anything else. Yes. Oh. We'll be taken in, the person who doesn't know medicine will be taken in by all lifestyles, because he doesn't have any knowledge. If he understood the science of the body and he understood how it works, he'd see how absurd these ideas are. And if he understood psychology, he'd understand where these ideas come from. So once a person has knowledge, then there's no danger. But if he doesn't have the knowledge, he's in jeopardy. He's in jeopardy. It's an interesting thing, but the it says in Osir Achrei Levavchem Lachrei Enechem. Achrei Levavchem Zu Minus. Lachrei Enechem Zu Arayas. You see, what does it show you? What does the pasuk show you? The pasuk shows you that there are two areas of the mind where there's tremendous unconscious attraction. Achrei Levav, both of them. Both areas. The one area is the sexual area, because that's the area of the sexual fantasies. The same thing applies over there. A person who's l'sukhra l'achrei neicha means that a person is caught up in a sexual fantasy, so it becomes a reality to him that his big salvation is going to be to follow these whims. You see, that's the most sorech reyanechem. And also the other area is the area of minus. Minus is a tremendous unconscious attraction to. There's two areas of Torah singled out. The vavcham and erechem. Those two areas where the emotions are drawn. So one area is a total area where a person is attracted by the idea of total freedom. Who needs all these obligations and the whole system and the whole thing? Wants to remove everything. Wants to be free. He used to have, about 15 years ago, used to be, I want to be free. I want to be free. That was the motto of the Hamon, be free. Just then had any idea what freedom was. But the attraction is that freedom means there are no obligations, removal of all obligations. Tremendous unconscious attraction, precursor, removal of the restraints, authoritative restraints. That's one area that attracts man very much. And the second area is the area of the sexual area, the area of sexual fantasies. A person is overcome by a fantasy and he imagines that if he follows through his fantasy, he's going to find happiness in the world. Those are the two areas that work very strongly on the unconscious part of man's mind, and they're very convincing. They start convincing him that if he follows these emotions, he's going to be very happy. See, the mind becomes overpowered, and that is the danger. That's why it's the third parsha in Kriyat Shema, Kabbalah Samacha Shemaya. See how beautifully the Torah singled out those two areas, the dangerous areas. Amazing system how the Torah works with that. So that system is geared precisely towards man's emotions to protect them from the dangers. So the Gemara says, according to the Rambam, that's the pshat in that Rambam in the Yudalim. So according to the Rambam, if you go over the member, it means like this: Have you shatted lo matara? Means that a person should really be involved in Torah. That's one thing. The Rambam breaks it up. But then the second thing is Dhamma Shatashalat Bikaris, means that not only does he have to learn Torah for himself, but he has to learn Torah also in order to know how to help others who are even Umas Olam, according to the Rambam, that they should have the true ideas. But he has to be careful in that area that he shouldn't be taken over by his own emotions. That's right. According to two things that the child wants. One is the removal of the parental authority, you see, removal of the parental authoritative figure, that's one. And the other thing is a specific expression of taiva. And those two things are what the child has to give up, but these things tend to come back in later life. Very powerful. Yetzer lev adam ra min ura. Person's nature is, the pasuk says, is set from his earliest movements. Min urav means misheshosh and mina lotzes mibet lima. It's first movements, instinctual movements, are very strongly tied to these two areas. That's why the Torah singled them out. So vavcham and anecha. Those two powerful areas. Okay. That was really the chet of the meraglim. The chaita the meraglim was, no, their belief was very good. They said the land was very good. If you look at the report of the meraglim, that's what the rabbi asked. What did they say wrong? They did exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu instructed them to do. What they were supposed to do, they came back, they told the story, and they said that he said, find out if it's a strong nation or a weak nation. So it says a strong nation. Are you going to blame them? I mean, he told them before. I mean, they should only come back and tell the truth if it's weak, but if it's strong, they should say it's weak. So, what kind of a time do you have against the Raglan? The Rabban says, there's only one word there that's bad. Ephes. Ephes ki azom. What's Ephes? Azom, they should have came back and they should have said, the nation is very strong. What's the... Ephes means, however. What does however mean? However is an opinion about what the plan of action should be. See, however implies... It's very, they're very, if he's just reporting facts, it's fine. But the one word is the faith, ethics. However, the people are very strong. What does however show? However means, maybe we should reconsider our approach over here. See? That was the faith. The one word was the faith. So the one word, really what the Ramban is pointing out is that chet is not so much overt. Chet is really more covert. That one word was only the only expression of their attitude. Because of their attitude, they came back and they poisoned the minds of the Klal Yisrael. That was really what they... Klal Yisrael sensed. They did it very, very... He goes through exactly this. They did it very... Quietly. They did it very quietly. Subtly, sly. Very, very sly. They're very sly about it. But really, the chet of the Meraglim was... What was the chet of the Meraglim? So what was wrong with the... When you get down, so you track it down further. So they said Ephes. Okay, but what was really wrong? What was really wrong was that they were afraid. They were afraid. Like the Ibn Ezra says, that the Shalach Yishalach Paras Ami says that the nation was slaves, so they couldn't really fight. They didn't have the courage to fight. They were slave mentality. They couldn't fight. So, okay, so what do you want from them? They're slave mentality. So what are they supposed to do? That's not their fault. So what was wrong? So the answer is, the fact that they were slave mentality, that you can't blame them for. I mean, after all, they did live through slavery, and they couldn't do anything about it. But what was wrong was that they distorted their weakness. Instead of saying that, instead of recognizing that it's their own weakness, if they would have came back and they would have said that really the right thing to do rationally is to go ahead, but we just don't, we feel weak, then it would have been a different... It would have been a different thing. Because if they would have recognized the truth, the source from which their ideas came from, then they could have done something about it. But the moment they distorted it and they displaced the real emotion, and they started to say that the plan was not rational, they changed what their fate was, and instead of recognizing the weakness in themselves, they claimed that they themselves were perfect. But the plan is an irrational plan. It was a displacement. That was the chet. That was really the chet. That's really the source. The source of all chet. The Meraglim is the source of all chet. What's the source of all chet? That a person distorts the reality in order to... A person feels that if he can't learn, if he can't learn Torah, so what's wrong with everything else? He's not making enough money, his wife is after him, his kids are bothering him, everything, he's just perfect. He's just everything else is out of line, so he's not his fault. That is the chet. The displacement is the chet. Recognize, the first step is to recognize that it's in you. That's where the problem resides. Mikem. If it's something wrong here, it's Mikem. It's you, my friend. It's not the system. Isn't very much in line. Right. You're out of line. It's the it's rank. It's Mikem. That's what I'm saying. Tarfanayim says Hayom Katzer. The day is short, and Malacha Meruba. There's a lot of work. Apolim Atzelim. The workers are lazy, and the Sfar Habe. But the reward is great. Ubala bayis dochek, and the employer is pressing on. The employer is pushing. Okay? So what is the... Rabbi Yezid, these are the days of a man's life that are very short. Kineget atarashim aruba. Arucho me'eretz mida rachovim anayam. Vein yared asleif. That's always the expression. It means that the knowledge of Torah is infinite. Arucho me'eretz mida rachovim anayam. For 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Sinai, he didn't sleep. Moshe Lamelach, Shama Laavdo. Modo Midod Zehuzim Mikan Vav Lamacha. A king that told his servant, he says, count up these pieces of gold from today till tomorrow. Lachol Moshe Tindo Yishalach. And he makes one proviso. He says that whatever you measure will be yours. Eich Yashon, how could such a person sleep? Hello, Bose Asho, Yafsit Kama Vachama. Every minute he takes a break, he's losing so much money. Kachom HaMosha. Efa Moshe Rabbeinu said. In Yishon, if I sleep, Kama Magolios Midivrei Torah Afsin. Alachas Kama Vachama Onil. Balmit and Shidin Leinei Lafa Pen and Snuma. So he says, it's an interesting thing. He says, why did Moshe have been asleep for 40 days? So he says, because It wasn't a matter of physiological strength. It was a matter of perceiving the value of Torah. It means if anybody would perceive the value of Torah like that, he also wouldn't sleep for 40 days. Also wouldn't sleep. Because the energy was so directed, all his energies were so directed, psychological energy was so directed towards the acquisition of knowledge, because he appreciated every word of Chochmah. So there was no way that he could ever, that he could simply turn off to go to sleep. It's impossible. How could I do it? How could I stop? So he kept going for 40 days, 40 nights. That's what Chazal said. Yes? The truth of the matter is that even with money, a person would eventually fall asleep. But the reason is, that's right, exactly. Because the money, even the enjoyment of money, has limitations and has frustrations attached to it. But sleep is when a person, what is sleep? Sleep is when a person turns away from reality. Because reality gives a person satisfaction, but it also gives a person a lot of pain. And sleep is withdrawal. He withdraws from the pain. He can't take the pain. I've counted, that's it, I've had enough pain. And I agree with you, even if you'd be counting money, it'd be a point where his fantasies would get exhausted and he'd just say, get out. Because there's frustrations there. There's frustrations. The material world is always frustration. But what does Moshe Rabbeinu represent? Moshe Rabbeinu represents man in a state where there is no frustration. Man in a state where there is no frustration. Which means when a person is attracted to the real good, in the real good there's no frustration. And that's why there's no sleep. That's why there's no sleep. Physicians say that they can't find any reason why a person has to sleep. It's not for the muscle weariness or anything like that. There's no reason. The reason that a person sleeps is because of a psychological factor. It simply has to withdraw from reality. Yes? No. The animal kingdom, it's they sleep because they have nothing to do. The instincts are taken care of. That's it. There's nothing to do. So what does sleep? Sleep means that there's no, he's in a state where there's no positive conscious energy flow. But a man sleeps as another function. A man, when a person sleeps, he escapes from the pains of reality. And also he dreams, and in dreaming what he does is he satisfies certain frustrations, tries to realign, reset reality so that he satisfies certain things that he couldn't satisfy in waking life, he satisfies in his dream life. So Rabbeinu Yonah says very nicely that that's only man insofar as he's weak. As far as he hasn't found the ultimate good. But if you put man in the perfect state, then he would never sleep. That was Moshe Rabbeinu, for those 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't a miraculous thing. It was just, Moshe Rabbeinu was an expression of the highest level, of man functioning on the highest level. And in that state, he wouldn't sleep. I said, any person would reach that state without sleep. It wasn't a miraculous thing. It wasn't an egg. A natural thing. Eating and drinking is a physiological thing. That was an ace. That he didn't have to eat. But sleep not. Sleep was for a different reason. That's why sleep, they say, was totally different. We witnessed the only guy, and his son writes about how his sleeping habits. He'd sleep a half hour at a time, four times a day. That was it. He would not sleep in bed. He'd sleep on the table. For a half hour a day, four times. A half hour a time, four times a day. 2 hours a day. That was it. I think it was 50 years a year. What? That's what Rashi says by... That's exactly. Right, very good. That's very good. As Rashi says in Vayetze, that when Yaakov Avinu was by Shein Vayetze for 14 years, he didn't sleep. That's what it says, yeah. 14 years. It means... I don't think it means absolutely no sleep, but it means he hardly slept. Because he was totally involved in the Chachmah. The man was totally involved in the world of the good, and there's no reason to sleep. And a person is enjoying himself, having tremendous satisfaction, he doesn't feel like sleeping. Mapolem atzelem, the workers are lazy, and the scar is great. So he says, Rabbeinu Yonah says, Elu b'nei adam shemisatzlim l'uma Torah. People are lazy to learn Torah. Ki gam hachachomim azrizin. Rabbeinu Yonah is a very practical psychologist. He says, He gam, that's his greatness, and he knew he had in-depth for human psychology. Gamma chachomim has reason misatzlim. He says, even great chachomim are lazy. Rabbeinu Yonah says. Well, people today agree with that. Kiteva adam ulis atzel. He says, because the nature of man is to be lazy. The ein adam nitzel hei mena. He says, nobody is really saved from this. Nobody escapes it. Yesh marbe v'yesh mamet. Some are more lazy and some are less lazy. So that's what they're answering the other thing. Yeah. Okay? That's a good point, Mark mentioned. Gama chachoma is reason. That's reason. That's reason. And we'll come back to this. What exactly, what the idea of laziness is. You have to realize like this. A person is never... Actually, when people criticize others for being lazy, usually, first of all, it's their own laziness that they're trying to defend themselves against. You know? They happen not to be lazy in that area. Like you'll find, for instance, a man who is running a business. A man who's running a business will always criticize his workers as being lazy. You see? And of course, he's not lazy because it's his business. So he comes into the office, it's his business, he's making the money, and he's the one that's the that everybody is everybody looks up to as the gives cover to, you know. So he can't understand why the other guy should be lazy. The only difference is he's making the money, he's getting the cover. So why should he be lazy? There's something he loves to do. There's no reason to be lazy. Meantime, the worker is only getting paid X amount, and the worker is getting paid for hourly work. So what does the worker think in his mind? The worker in his mind thinks, I have to work for 8 hours. So look, if we can reduce that sum, it might be to my benefit. You see? So it's not a matter of, it's really an unfair thing. The reason why the worker is lazy is because he's not getting the benefits of the employer. The employer's not lazy because he's involved in something that he loves. A person is not lazy when he's doing something he likes. That's the clause. When a person is doing something he doesn't like, so then laziness comes in. Laziness is not simply a mida. Laziness is resulting from a situation. What Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is like this. See, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't lazy because Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in an activity which gave him tremendous satisfaction. That's why he wasn't lazy. There's no laziness. You're not lazy when you do something you enjoy. You ever heard anybody being lazy to go and have pleasure, have fun? No such thing as that. Laziness means when you're doing something that you don't, that you have to impose upon yourself. Now, in learning, what he's saying is like this. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying like this. Gama chacham mazrizim misafurim. See? It means like this. Insofar as a person has to get his energies going to learn, that means there's a resistance there. That means he's not on the level where it's pure pleasure. So we mentioned last week that in learning there's two things. In learning, first of all, a person has to set his emotions to learn. It's a painful thing to come to a shiur. It's a painful thing. The other person in a relaxed mood, wants to watch television, wants to follow the tithes, doesn't want to restrain himself. So there's resistance there. But the even though in the end the person might have greater enjoyment, but at the moment he's confronted with that emotion. So what Rabbeinu Yonah say like this, that even the greatest person who is not on the total level of lishma, you see, where he's naturally involved in the chachma, insofar as he has to coerce himself, and even the greatest chacham has to use certain coercion in order to get himself into learning. So insofar as he has to use that coercion, there's always the resistance. There's the resistance against it. There is the laziness stems from a draw, actually, to other pleasures. That's what the laziness stems from. It's a resistance. There's two things, actually. I would say it's two things. One, laziness stems from the draw to the pleasures. That's one type of laziness. But I think there's another kind of laziness also from a psychological point of view. A laziness which stems from an inherent resistance to imposing an authoritative will upon oneself. See? It goes back into something that we were talking about last week. The truth of the matter is that the child, it goes back to childhood. In childhood, the child resists. See, the child rebels against the father. One of the ways that he rebels against the father there's two ways. One way is positive aggression. He has definite aggression against the father, and he wants to outwardly rebel, but that usually is quelled. That usually is quelled, most normal circumstances. But then there still is one way that he can still get back at the parental figure, and that is by passive resistance. Passive resistance. See? Passive resistance is simply, he doesn't do. doesn't do so quickly. Okay? And that's why in the situation, that's why workers have that too. Workers have that mentality too. Worker mentality, that's the mentality. Passive resistance says the employer. The employer becomes the authoritative figure, and he is gaining, he feels he gained something by not doing. Again, what did he do with his time? Nothing. But he simply refused to comply with the will of the employer. He didn't do anything. That's the pleasure. That's the pleasure. See? That's the inherent enjoyment. That's the inherent laziness. And what happens is, the truth of the matter is that people read each other's unconscious. So the employer senses that the employee is getting the satisfaction, and he gets pretty upset about it. That's why he comes down on it. But the truth of the matter is that this situation is one that could take place within one person also, within a single human being. Within a single human being, you could have two people working. One person, one part of the person is the part that takes over the authoritative part. Right. But then he's also the other part. So the authoritative part tries to get the other part to do something, to accomplish something. And the other part simply enjoys resisting and feels a satisfaction in resisting the other part, the other side. See? So that the one person is acting out two different parts. And that's what laziness really is. That's really what laziness is. There's no such thing as laziness per se. Nobody is lazy when it comes to doing pleasure. But there are two causes for laziness. One cause for laziness is because simply the person to get started is attracted to the tithers, he has to withdraw from the tithers in order to get into a higher area. Even though the higher area will give him more satisfaction, but the tithers only see the immediate. The tithers don't see what's going to happen in the future. That's why the chacham made of the rosh. He's a chacham as a person, he can see, he lives in the future right now. But the average person doesn't have that. So therefore the tithers are the problem. That's one type. And the other type is an inherent satisfaction. An inherent satisfaction in resisting the authoritative figure. An authoritative figure is incorporated in the person's own, in the individual's own personality. He has two personalities that he's working with. So that's why Rabbeinu Yonah says that in the psyche, when the psyche, in the developed psyche, since you have those two people there, those two figures, so he can't escape. There's a certain measure of laziness in everybody, even the greatest chachamim, still they're human beings. So far as they comply with human psychology, they have to have these two parts. And therefore, there's always going to be an element of laziness. That's why he mentions zrizim. Zrizim means, zrizis is the opposite. Zrizis means where you gather together all the forces to get the machinery working. Right? But then there's the other part that's resisting. That part that's resisting is a powerful force. And that can be responsible for the person's downfall. That's why you'll find people in life that way. People in life who accomplish nothing. So you wonder, you say, how could a person, and they'll tell you they accomplish nothing in life. Say, how could a person do this? Why did he do it? What kind of a life is that? The answer is, he accomplished something in his life. His something was that he did nothing. He resisted all his life. That's his accomplishment. Whether he wants to admit it or not, but that was the satisfaction that propelled him along all those years. Yeah. The only thing is that these people are usually very unhappy. Because when you translate into conscious terms, he knows he has nothing. But in the day-to-day activities, he is having that satisfaction. That satisfaction is there. Don't kid yourself. The person doesn't do anything with that satisfaction. All right. More or less, a lot is dependent upon psychological factors. I mean, Rabbeinu doesn't go into that. So that's very hard to explain. I mean, that's an individual explanation. He's only talking universal. Yeah. But it could be to the point, the laziness could be to the point where it will obviate any type of progress. I mean, then the person is a waste of life. That's unfortunate. Anyway. So, and Aschar, I see the Rambam has something. So I guess he says, Va'atzlus b'nei Adam, he says, Zem mashal l'kotzer ha'shonim v'rov ha'chochmas. Va'atzlus b'nei Adam l'vaksha. And the laziness of man to search for the chochmas. Imrov aschar alayim, in spite of the fact that there's so much reward. See? V'imrov hasros ha'torah v'az haroseha l'vakesh chochma v'limut, Rambam says. In spite of all the warnings of the Torah, and all the Azharis that the Torah gives, to encourage a person to run after Chochma. How many Azharas you haven't heard? In spite of all that, he says, there's always that underlying resistance, the underlying Atzus. Underlying Atzus. Okay. What's important is that a person should recognize it. That's important. Why does Rabbeinu Yonah tell us this? Why does Chazal tell us this? Because the only chance you have to overcome it is to understand it. You understand it, you get insight into your own laziness, and the person understands how he's resisting and why, if he's choker v'doresh, and if he investigates the soul, and he sees the expressions and he understands the expressions of his resistance, then he can overcome it, little by little. He can overcome it. Well, totally, I mean, you don't hope for it. But you hope for a degree where he can attain a certain level of chachma in this world, in this life. But the only way is, that's the way of Chazal, is not to hide these things, make believe they don't exist, but on the contrary, to turn the mind's eye on them, and to search them out, and to understand them, and uproot them. It's the only way you can make progress. There's no other way. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah explains it. Rabbeinu Yonah says it. Yes. Rabbeinu Yonah mentions even the great Chachomim have it. He mentions that because he doesn't want a person to feel guilty that a person will not be honest about his own resistances and his own laziness. But he sees even great Chachomim have it, so he has a chance to be honest in his own life and to investigate his own resistances. The person has to be realistic. So he mentions even great Chachomim have it. This way, that'll cause a person to be honest about it and to look into it, not to be ashamed of it. The worst thing is to try to deny a person's emotion. That's the worst thing. That's today's society. Balabayas Doche. Okay, what does it mean that Balabayas God the employer pushes on? He's very pressing. He's a very hard employer. Very pressing. Where do you see that God is pressing? This is like this. Shalat Balomo. He says it's not like a regular worker. Regular worker, the employer is like this. Look, work 8 hours, you get X amount of dollars. Work 6 hours, you get less. And after you work, you go home and you're free. So that's not the way, that's not the kind of employer God is. He says, God is not like a regular employer, you have time off. But with God, there's no time off. Even 1 minute, you can't rest. Even 1 minute, you can't rest. And if you waste a minute, so then you have an onus. That's what he says. A tough situation, huh? Mm-hmm. Tough situation. Very dismal situation. You know, no union, you can't negotiate either. Okay. Unnegotiable, that's right. So what's the essence of the member here? The essence of the member. I think the essence of the memra is one concept, one idea exists there. The contrast between the infinite and the finite. And the fact that man has to translate the infinite into finite terms. That's what it means. Ayom Katsa means like this. It means the day is short. Man's finite existence, 70 years. How much chachma can a person, I don't care who he is, the greatest chachma in the world, how much chachma can one person pack into 70 years compared to the chachma that exists in the universe, God's chachma? It's fractional, minimal. The greatest minds that have ever passed through here have only tapped a fraction of the chachma that exists. Not only that, but you take a look at it, especially we're at a certain vantage point in history. We can look back at certain great, tremendous, greatest minds that have ever existed. We look back at an Aristotle, a mind that everybody agrees was one of the greatest minds that ever existed, or an Archimedes, or the other great minds. How much of reality were they able to penetrate? As brilliant as they were, not only were they not able to penetrate reality to a great degree, but even their premises, the premises of their chachma, have been discovered later to be based on ideas that were inaccurate. Talking about the greatest minds. So what can man in 70 years accomplish in terms of the infinite Chokhmah? Nil. Nil. And you take nothing. It's a joke. So what Reb Tafel was comparing was the absurdity of the situation. Here you have a man who is finite and has 70 years. Yet he has a mechanism in him that can perceive something that is so much greater than his whole existence that no matter how great a chacham he is, he can only hope to scratch the surface. That's all he can do. It's a strange kind of situation that man finds himself in. That's what it means. Hayom katzer hamelacha merubah. But that's the situation. That's the reality of the situation of man. You see? That's the reality. That man's finite life can never begin to tap the source of infinite chokhmah. Then you have hapolim atzelim v'asachar harbe. Sachar harbe, tremendous reward, and yet the workers are lazy. What does it mean? This means the same thing, but in a different respect. Here he's talking about the way man, in the first part he's talking about the objective situation. Man's mind and knowledge. Okay? It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous situation. Nobody would make such a thing. But that's the way God created man. That's the situation. We're not here to pass judgment on how the world was created. Just have to understand the way it is. Hope to understand somewhat the way it is. That's the first part. Yom Kutsum Lacham Urba, it's an absurdity. It's absurd. That's absurd. No person would ever do it. No employer would make a situation like that. Where the employee can only accomplish a fractional amount of the work, and it's ridiculous. Now, the second thing is, how do you relate to this? How does man's motivation relate to the infinite? So you have like this. You have Sochar Harbe. The reward is very, very great. Why? Because the reward stems from the infinite. And the reward in man is, insofar as he partakes of the infinite, insofar as he partakes of that infinite, he himself becomes infinite. And that's the whole idea of Olam Haba. So you're talking about an infinite reward. But yet, you see, the workers are lazy. So why are the workers, where do you find workers lazy when there's such a great reward? The answer is because the worker is in the framework of the finite. The worker finds himself in the framework of, personally, is in the framework of the finite. And he's trying to translate an infinite reward into finite terms in order to make the transition to get the motivation. You see? That's another absurdity of the situation. Because since he's a psychological being has to translate everything into instinctual terms, or sophisticated instinctual terms. And once he does that, you see, by doing that, by making that transition, he loses his view of the infinite reward. So in motivation, in creating the motivation, He's at a tremendous loss. He's inherently at a tremendous loss because he's trying to create the motivation in finite terms. I'll get a great reward. What does he picture as a great reward? To him, a great reward is a physical reward, an instinctual reward. He knows that's not it. He can't picture the infinite. So therefore, he can't relate to the Sochar Harbe. He can't relate to the Sochar Harbe. So he has to be lazy. He tries to imagine the Sochar Harbe. Tries to imagine his mind would be a great good, but he really doesn't know what the great good is because he's finite. So therefore, intrinsically in the situation, he can't translate he's at a loss to translate the infinite reward to motivate him to move because he's rooted in the finite, you see. So motivationally he's in that finite. That's why he can't do it. That's what the Rambam said. In spite of all Azharas in the Torah, it doesn't help. I mean, it helps, but it doesn't really help to the degree that you'd imagine, because the translation is in the translation is lost. Lost in the translation. So you cannot do it. That's the strange phenomenon. The strange phenomenon. But that's the phenomenon of man. That's the reality of man. Ubalabayas Dochai. And aside from all that, Balabayas Dochai. What does it mean, Balabayas Dochai? It means that there is no such thing in this area as a And whereas there's no, every minute is going, every minute that goes by is a loss. There's no such thing as taking off. Like I've been honest, there's no such thing as a break. After 8 hours, I'll take a rest. Can a person take a rest from reality? Impossible. Every minute is a loss. Every minute in his life, either he's gaining or he's losing. And life is something which is moves on. Sure, it moves on. It's finite. And every minute that he doesn't partake of the opportunity, he's losing. That's the way it is. Balabai is nochet. Yeah. That's the situation of man. A hopeless, absurd situation. That's the way it is. Yep. That's why the truth of the matter is, what does this remind you of? It reminds me of one chazal. It's a pasuk, really. Pasuk in Torah. Strange pasuk in Torah. Pasuk says, Vayomer Elokim, Nase Odom B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. What does it mean? Nase Odom B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. As a matter of fact, when they translated the Septuagint, so they took out Nase Odom. They said Ase Odom. They translated into Greek. They said, I will make man. They didn't say, we shall make man. And the question is, all the upper person, especially the Christians, upper person, they all, not just the Christians, you know, not just the Christians, but the Trinity. That will this idea of many Rishuyas predated. It's just that the Christians carry on the same emotional source as the other of the Avodah Zarah. But all, what do they all say? Shtei Rishuyas. Nas Adam, we. They couldn't believe in Achdus Hashem. So the question is, why did the Pasuk say Nasa Adam? Why couldn't the Pasuk say Es Adam? So you take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says that God asked, God consulted his Pamalia. And he asked the Malachim, should we make man or not? Right? So the Malachim said no. Malachim said no. See? Why did the Malachim say no? Why did they say no? The answer is, if you understand Reb Tarfon, you see, you would say no also. You would say no also. Why make a creature that is, you're putting him in a situation where he simply he can't accomplish anything. I mean, his life is like a wink of the eye in terms of the amount of chachma that there is. His motivation is crippled because everything has to be translated into the physical sense, and every minute of his life he's caught in this every minute is a constant thing. All his life he's caught up in this trap. In this phenomena. So the answer is that the malachim knew. The malachim. If you'd ask the malachim, or if you'd ask a person to create, if it's advisable to create man, they'd give the same answer. Even the malachim said no. The malachim said no. Because given the nature of man, the combination of the instinctual and the intellectual. They said that it can't work. It means to say that we cannot understand. What our Tarfon's memory is, we cannot understand the wisdom of creating man. When you really understand man, no one can understand the wisdom of creating man. Only God. No person can understand it. It does not make any sense. Not even the angel. That's why it's Nasa Adam. That's why it's right over there in the Torah where it says Nasa Adam. That's the spot. Because over there, the pasuk is talking about the creation of man. And the pasuk wants to tell you that man is such a creature that inherently from his inception, his creation does not make any sense to anybody but God. So what are you supposed to learn from this? So this is a very sad commentary.
Yeah.
So when you look at man... But I told you, Chazal were not in the habit of avoiding any type of view of knowledge, no matter how painful it might be. It's a very painful thing. But you see, the Chazal wanted to make sure that we understand this this ridiculous setup that we find ourselves in, that man finds himself in. That's what the mimer is. And that's why you have the last mimer. The last mimer is Hu Hoya Omer. So your Tarfon goes in two parts. First, he tells you... The other ones you don't notice then. You just say what he said. Your Tarfon has two parts then. First, he tells you what the situation is. In general, he looks at it from a philosophical point of view. What is philosophical? That's the first part. And then it says, Hu HaYa'omer. What is the Hu HaYa'omer? Hu HaYa'omer means like this. It's important to know that man is
It's important to know that we don't understand man. That's important to know. Even though you come to an absurd, frustrating conclusion, but it's good. A frustrating conclusion, you should tolerate it. Knowledge is good, even if it's frustrating. You have to, you gain by, a person is on a higher level if he understands what, if he understands something that leads him to total frustration than if he didn't understand that point. Even though it does in fact lead him to total frustration, we don't care about the outcome. People are concerned with emotions, don't want to hear things that are painful. If people are concerned with reality, want to hear things that might be painful. So Reb Tarfon set forth the painful reality of man's existence. And Ayom Katsaram Lacham Urba. That's the painful reality. And you should know that painful reality. Because knowledge of it gives a person a certain attitude of the soul. You see? But then the question is, what do you do? What do you do is in the last memoir. Hu Hayom. That's the practicality. Hu Hayom. What do we do now that it's absurd? And now that we really see that it's a frustrating vision to contemplate man, it's a frustrating vision. So what do we do? We're frustrated about it. What do we do? So this way it says. So like this. Lo alecha malacha ligmar, the lo ato ben chorin li batalimah. Three things. You don't. It's not your job to complete the malacha, to complete the knowledge, have any completion in your quest for knowledge. And also, you cannot refrain from being involved in it. Alright? That's the first thing. The first thing is, what he's saying is like this, that a person should remove from himself the desire for accomplishment from the sphere of learning. Not the desire for accomplishment. If he wants to accomplish, to become an accomplished person, that's very good. If he wants to go into a PhD program, it's very good. He gets his degree and he's accomplished. That's very nice. He has the stamp of society, tells him he's an expert in his field, and he walks away and he feels great. He never opens up the book again. But in Yadis, that's not, in life, that's not the way it is. Lo alecha malacha ligmar. You cannot be guided by any desire for accomplishment. That's wrong. That's totally wrong. V'iyata ben chorin libato mimena. On the other hand, you're going to tell me if you have no motivation for accomplishment to accomplish anything, so then there's nothing to do, then don't do anything. No. You can't refrain from being involved in it. So what does it mean, can't refrain from being involved in it? It means that the nature of the good is involvement, is an activity. That's the nature of the good, is that it is an activity. That's the nature of the good. The good is an activity. It has nothing to do with accomplishment, nothing to do with the superego part of the mind. Okay? Yeah. He says, like this, but he answers very nicely. He says, Shlotala al Daitcha. He says it a little bit differently. Shlotala al Daitcha, you shouldn't think to yourself, Eineni Rachav Lev. I'm not a person with a broad heart, or a broad mind anymore. He means I can't stand Torah. I can't stand the whole world of Torah. I can't have Shas on my fingertips and have the total knowledge of Yadus with the philosophy and everything. I can't have it. He says, I can never finish it. My Yisron ba'omo. What value is there in the work? Ma'ol b'yivyasi. And what am I going to gain from all this effort? See? That's what happens in the translation. People try to translate into learning. They translate from the physical world. So if they could sense accomplishment in the physical world, the person will do it. What man's going to involve himself in the art of money making if he can't make a dollar? It's ridiculous. He's going to work all his life. It's a waste of time. So he has to sense accomplishment. He can accomplish something. Otherwise, he's not going to do it. Doesn't make any sense. Not rational. But in this area, rationality dictates that you should be irrational. Rationality dictates that you don't apply the rules that apply to the other areas of life. There's no accomplishment of it in this area. But still in all, you have to recognize the fact that the good is the involvement itself. You see? So it's like this. Shalom alecha legomra. Ala acha shebetorah to omel kiyamta mitzvahs barecha. As long as you're working in Torah, that is the mitzvah. That, therein is the mitzvah. The involvement. The activity. That is the good. Just simply the activity. You should have nothing more in front of your mind's eye than the activity itself. That's what our prophet said. You should not have in front of you no accomplishments. Don't translate from the physical world. See, the whole idea was before that he said that the problem for man is, what's the problem? The problem for man is that he's finite, and he's dealing with an infinite commodity. But he himself is finite. So it expresses itself in terms of how much he could accomplish over his lifetime, and also in the translation, the motivational translation it destroys. So he answers that. He says that you have to remove the motivation of accomplishment, and just be attached to the concept of activity and involvement. That's the only way that a person, now he's telling you how a person should approach it. It's absurd, it's ridiculous, but we're here, we're alive, we live. I mean, a person is bakach ratachai, I mean, he's alive, he has no choice in the matter. So what does a person do with his life? So he has to have some modus operandi in order to know, some modus operandi, some way of functioning. So what is it? Reb Tarfon defines what it is. That he removes himself from the category of accomplishment. Finishing shas. See, Daf Yomi. What is Daf Yomi today? What is the idea of Daf Yomi? Daf Yomi doesn't agree with Reb Tarfon. Why? Because they don't believe lo lacham lacham ligma. They believe in the contrary. You have to finish shas. So that's why you learn a blot a day over 7 years to finish shas. That's the accomplishment. See, but what they're doing is they're translating a worldly physical type of endeavor. And they're trying to translate that into the infinite commodity. You lose a lot in the translation. A lot. And that's why there's very little success in it. The Daf Yomi, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people, I know who Daf Yomi is. They keep on going through the Masechtas. They have no idea what the Masechtas is about. Are they really? They just don't, they're not going to say the person is, they finish the block. It has nothing to do with it. Instead of being attached to the idea that the involvement in learning, Chazal said a person should convey it in the Torah. Convey it in the Torah, set aside time for learning Torah. They never said to learn a blot a day, I never heard such a thing. A blot a day, and that's why it's very attractive to today's message. That idea is very attractive to today's message. They love it. I learned a blot today, I feel great. What does it mean? It means just like he went to work today and earned X amount of dollars, and just like he has the car that he wanted, and he got the house that he wanted, and he has this and that, all these accomplishments, he has another accomplishment for the day. What's the other accomplishment? The other accomplishment is he wrote a block. A block. Of course, it relieves the guilt, it makes it a beginning accomplishment. That is the psychology of that's really the Daf Yomi psychology. That's the Daf Yomi psychology. The Rav one time said, today the style is Bikias. The style is Bikias. He said, but if you don't know what you're talking about, what are you a bucky with? That problem doesn't enter anybody's mind. Why? Because they're so overcome with the accomplishment. Yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't learn about it. Really, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think a person that uses any motivation to learn is a good thing, and perhaps we shouldn't frown on it. But I'm talking over here, we're learning the highest idea of learning is. So I would say that it's better to learn a blot a day than to bottle during that time, that's for sure. I mean, there's no question about that. Any motivation, trust loss level is smart, as I mentioned before, that's true. But you have to look at, you have to understand also, if you're low l'shmo, you have to understand what your low l'shmo is and how far you are from the real level. And that's what the Turkey Ovis is. You have to see both sides of the coin over here. So what Reb Tarfon is saying is, at that type of motivation, you can't translate the good. The eternal, infinite good cannot be translated into materialistic terms. And when you do that, you destroy the whole idea. And I would say, Mitach Shlo Shmo Bo Shmo, after Daf Yomi leads to the Shmo is good. But if it just remains a Daf Yomi all the person's life, I mean, and it remains a Lo Shmo type of thing, it doesn't really know what he's doing. It's Korach to a waste of time. What? It's really, I mean, okay, you're learning, any kind of learning is a... Mitash Hashem means that hopefully whatever he learned, it'll have echoes of Lashma somewhere. Have echoes of Lashma somewhere. But the person learns Torah, so Torah has an effect on a person. So it's a good thing. Practically, it's better, like I said, it's better than Batala. But in its pure sense, if it just remains purely accomplishment, and that's all it is, I mean, I could see cases where it leads to very little improvement. The person would be much better off if he spent the hour to improve himself and to learn a little bit, to try to perceive a little bit of Torah L'shma, try to understand something in Torah. That would be a far better accomplishment. Okay. But again, I'm not trying to, if a person learns is good, with Torah L'shma, I'm not trying to put it down. But it's very, very far from the true level. That's lo alecha amalecha ligma. That's what Tarfon says. Don't translate it into finite terms. The closest you could translate it into is an activity. That's the way the person should translate it. This activity is the good. Okay? Yes. It's a great confusion, and that's why today's world is only accomplishment. That's all there is. See? Madison Avenue only wants to deal with an accomplished man. I don't want to deal with a person that's involved in an activity. I mean, Alright? If you learned a lot of Torah, then he says, so they give you a lot of reward. Okay? What does it mean? What does this mean? So Rabbeinu Eli gives the explanation for this. Very nice explanation. This is like this. He says, Lomar Sheyesh Yisron, I want to tell you there's an advantage, Lamar Ben Midaito, the Nechka. Interesting thing. He says, listen to the Lashon. Do we have the other corrected version? Something in the middle. But anyway, Yesh Yisro Lamar Ben Midaito Venechkam. There is additional benefit to the person who's Mar Ben Midaito Venechkam. What does it mean? It means he adds knowledge, he becomes wiser. Al HaMamet, over the one that learns less. Afal Pisha Shnei Alon Is Batlu, even though both of them didn't abstain from learning. But there's, in other words, what he's saying is like this. After the first part of the memory, you might think that you're not free to refrain from learning. Okay, I'm not refraining and he's not refraining. But I'm a little more, so you might think there's no benefit. You see? So, no. The more you learn, the more benefit. Well, of course, I mean, it's a double puzzle. What does he want? It's a simple thing, naturally. You're not free to refrain from it. So insofar as you did more, so naturally you refrained less. Of course it has to be that way. And what's the chiddush over here? What is Rabbeinu Yonah telling you? What's the chiddush? Of course you don't want to refrain. So there's degrees of refraining, we understand that. So a person who gains more means he refrained less. So he certainly did better. What? Say that. No. I don't know, I didn't say that. He says more. He said he did more than the person did less. What he means is that it's true that it's an activity. But it's not just involving oneself in an activity. That's not where it ends. You see? What happens is the activity results in a certain attitude of the soul. The activity results in a certain attitude of the soul. And that's why the person who is involved in the activity more, the attitude of his soul is a greater attitude, is a different attitude. That's why he says, Yesh Yisro Lamar Ben Midaito V'Nechtam. What is that, Mar Midaito? She said, Mar, what's Mar Midaito V'Nechtam? The answer is because the activity is one which turns and changes the nature of the human soul. So insofar as the person is involved in that activity, that's how much his soul changes. So therefore, the person, he's explaining to you what the reward is. You see, you know what it is. In Lamana Tatar Harbe, Nostum Lachos Sachar Harbe. What does he mean to say? What he means to say is like this. That you should have some idea of where the sky lies. A person can't do something for reward. What's the reward? It's not a physical reward. So what is it? You have no idea what it is. You're not going to be motivated towards it. So Rav Tarfon is giving you some inkling of what it is. He says, first of all, forget about the accomplishment. Number one, it's an activity. But besides the fact that it's an activity, it's an activity which changes the soul that partakes of that activity. So insofar as you're involved in that activity, your soul changes. So therefore, if you learned a lot of Torah, you have a great reward. You should have an idea of what that reward is. That reward is expressed directly in the attitude of the soul. A person learns Torah properly, and he learns more, his soul, the attitude of the soul towards reality changes. So that's the Sachar Harbe. He wanted, that's what it means. In Lamar the Torah Harbe, Nasim Lucha Sachar. In Marba Midaito Venechkam, if a person was Marba Midaito Venechkam, it means that it has to be that way. He's Marba, so he became, in other words, it doesn't mean Marba in terms of time. Of course, there are two people, who says he's going to become smarter if he learns more time? One guy learned 10 hours or 8 hours? No. It's not a quantitative thing. There's a change in the soul that takes place. Therefore, he says, the first idea is that it's an activity. Second idea is that you get a great reward if you learn a lot. What does it mean, get a great reward? It means insofar as you partake of that activity, your soul changes. And therein you could see the beginning.